Starting a family is one of the most exciting and joyful times in the life of a couple, but it can also turn into one of the most anxious experiences when it doesn't happen straight away. You can be left wondering why and what can you do about it. So joining us on the line today is Dr. Katrina Rowan, who is a clinical director of the Monash IVF Group in Sydney, to answer our questions. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. Thank you for having me along.
Katrina, I think a lot of this conversation is about debunking myths and really getting to the heart of the facts of the matter. And we see so many stories of women having babies well into their 40s. But honestly, at what age does the fertility of a woman really start to decline?
Well, fertility for a woman is optimal in their 20s, and we start to see a small decline in a woman's early 30s. And that decline really does start to speed up in the mid-30s, accelerates in the late 30s, and unfortunately by mid-40s it's almost impossible for a woman to conceive using her own eggs.
It's quite interesting, Katrina, because I actually went through IVF personally. I was very young. I was 30 when I found out that I couldn't have children. And one of the tests that I did was an AMH test, an anti-Morelia hormone. But that was quite confusing in itself. And I think, you know, is there a best time for us to be doing this test? What kind of information can we arm ourselves with when we do see our doctor, our GP? And obviously it is quite confusing also because you've got celebrities who are 50 and having children and maybe they're sort of, you know, elevating this to seem simple when it's actually quite a complex conversation.
Yeah, well, certainly the AMH, there's a myth out there that it's a test of fertility and whether someone can fall pregnant, and that's absolutely not the case. There's women with very low AMHs that can fall pregnant easily and vice versa. What an AMH does give us an idea of is what a woman's storage of eggs is like compared to other women of their age. So, look, it's a good screen to see whether a woman is at risk of going through menopause early and losing her fertility earlier than average. And look, we do use it prior to IVF to help optimise IVF treatment. But the information, I think a woman needs to think very carefully about whether she wants that information before actually getting that test, because it doesn't necessarily mean much whether she's going to be able to have babies or not.
Katrina, at what stage do you find couples come to you and say, we've been trying for X amount of time? Is there a demographic that is commonly seen, or is it more about the time taken to try and gain conception?
Yeah. Look, we try to encourage, so in our system, patients will typically see GPs first before them being referred on to a specialist. And we typically encourage patients who have been, so if they're younger, say a woman's under 35, to try for 12 months before a specialist review. And then if a woman's over 35, we encourage that people get reviewed earlier than that, so after about 6 months of trying. And I guess the other circumstance is if there's an obvious problem, for example, if a woman doesn't have a period or has very irregular periods or has a condition such as endometriosis that's known to affect fertility, then we would recommend that they also sought help a bit earlier than that average 12 months.
Okay.
And Katrina, it's interesting because, I mean, for us, we're led down this path of going, you know, take the pill, like protect yourself, do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of debunk a little bit about that? Because, I mean, there is a bit of confusion whether or not if you're taking the pill for a long period of time, does that affect your fertility?
Yeah, look, I think you're right that we're getting very good at that off switch for contraception. Yeah. And people often presume that the on switch is going to be just as easy, which it may not be. But look, in terms of the pill, what the pill does is it stops ovulation, so it stops the final stages of an egg getting to maturity and being released. Now, that factor, even if you've been on the pill for many years, once a woman comes off the pill, that mechanism should stop within a couple of months. So we would expect a period to come back within a couple of months. And I think what happens quite a lot of the time is that the pill does mask any underlying ovulation problems. So if women did have a problem while she was on the pill, she wouldn't notice that until she stopped the pill. So we generally recommend if a period hasn't recommenced after 2 or 3 months off the pill, then that's a good opportunity to seek some help to see what's going on.
Katrina, in this age of instant results, Have we ignored the fact that, like running a marathon, you should prepare for pregnancy? Is there a time where a couple might say, okay, we would like to have a family, so for 3-4 months we will reduce the intake of this and perhaps maximise the intake of that? Is there a general philosophy that couples should follow?
I think generally following a healthy, balanced diet, keeping alcohol at a minimum and avoiding smoking and illicit drugs is certainly going to maximise a couple's fertility. And yes, it would be ideal if that happens for a few months prior to conception. We also recommend that a woman takes folic acid for at least 1 month prior to starting trying to conceive. I guess, you know, whether couples do that before starting or after probably also depends on the age. So if someone was 40, I wouldn't recommend that they deferred things for a few more months. I think they should just start trying. Sure. But look, younger couples where there's no issues, yes, it would be ideal if all of that preparation is done for a few months, because it does take 3 months to develop an egg.
Mm-hmm. And I think we need to understand, what role does the father play in this as far as his health?
It's an interesting one.
Well, I mean, I think it's not always necessarily the woman that is the concern.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, when we look at infertile couples, the couples that haven't been able to conceive, we see approximately a third of that of infertility is due to pure male factor. So it's more of a sperm issue. Mm-hmm. About a third is due to the female, mm-hmm. and about a third is a combination of factors from both the male and female. So certainly the health of the father, to a small degree the age of the father, can make a difference in terms of outcomes.
Yeah.
And just very quickly, what role, obviously you've got a lot of single women out there, how do they prepare themselves? Because again, you know, should they be putting this off? Should they be freezing eggs? It's a bit of a misconception, because that doesn't guarantee, it's a single cell organ. It doesn't necessarily guarantee pregnancy.
Yes, well, certainly egg freezing is something we're seeing more and more of as fertility specialists. There's been a big increase in the interest in that technology. And I think it's women becoming aware of all of these issues with fertility that's driving that, which is fantastic. Look, in terms of a single woman who's not in the right relationship but does want to have children in the future, look, I guess first of all, just simple steps, being aware of her own menstrual cycle, keeping track of that, making sure that's regular, seeking help if it's not, maximising her own general health. And look, if she does become in the situation where she would be happy to conceive a pregnancy, I'd always encourage people to start trying as early as they can. But for a woman that's not in that situation, egg freezing is certainly a viable option. And depending on age and the number of eggs we get, it can get up to 70 to 80% chance of a baby with egg freezing if a woman is quite young. So look, it is becoming a more viable option and something I would encourage single women, particularly if they're hitting their early to mid-30s, is a good age to consider freezing eggs if they're not in the right situation for a pregnancy at that age.
And I think it's wonderful to understand that people have the freedom these days, if you wish, to have a child on your own as well. So there's a lot of different pathways that people can go down in having a family, which is really, really wonderful. And I think also important to understand there's no stigma if you do need assistance. There's no stigma around infertility. Because it happens to so many people. Thank you so much, Katrina. Very, very interesting and useful information this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for a really interesting conversation. We'd love to be part of it.
Thanks, Katrina.
Wonderful. You have a great Sunday.